Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
What's up, friendos? Welcome into the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast Week 8 Rankings. That is right. It is ranks time for just about halfway through the season, and we have Mick Chiolella on the show today, where Mick is a really good ranker, by the way. I actually just did the rank show with him on Fantasy Pros this week, and he's going to be joining us here, so we get to pit Mick versus Bogman
a little bit
in these rank battles. Pretty much everybody but me on the rank show has ranked high so far this year. Scott Pianowski was top 20 this week. He's on the show. I'm not sure about Billy, to be honest, Billy Muzio, but
this is why I haven't been invited yet, is because Mick can't rank high.
Mick has a top 20. It's everybody but me. I just want one. Just one good week.
Just a good week.
Justify being on that show outside of just being a host who, you know, babbles into three questions
for
people.
Or does it feel like the more you lament and meticulously do your picks, the worse you make them? I feel like the weeks where I'm kind of rushing at the end, or maybe I'm fixing things on Sunday morning before kickoff, killer weeks. If I sit there on Wednesday, go through it meticulously, and, you know, take 2 to 3 hours to do my rankings, then I'm in the 150s or whatever, you know.
Yeah, well,
it just feels that way.
It's also tough because there's a balance of, like, you know, just being right about players versus how the algorithm of the act, because we're kind of talking about the accuracy contest.
Sure. Yeah.
Most people, like, just listeners, don't really know about that. The accuracy contest, it's just this weighted algorithm of, like, you get points versus where the guys go and stuff like that. And it's like, you could still make the right choices, but not accurately rank.
That's true.
On that. Yeah. But to that point, like, sometimes I'm thinking, like, maybe I'll just have my kids just pick the ranks for this week, and let's see what happens. Drag and drop, guys. Just drag and drop them. Let's see what happens.
On Check the Mic, they make picks for every game. And one of the guy's 9-year-old son makes picks. And for most of the year last year, he was doing better than that. I think he's behind this year, but you never know. It's like when we did the coin, you know, you never know.
2 weeks of the coin being amazing. But we got Mick in the house. Great ranker. We'll kind of go through some of the interesting ranks because there are stuff. We have some voicemails. We don't have a lot. The great Jack Boyce was under the weather, so we don't have a parody song this week. And then also, apparently, people don't like us anymore, so they don't send a bunch in. So chopping block, a little bit chop. It's close. One more week, chopping block for the voicemails, but we will have a couple of those. We got Mick here in a little bit, and we have got news and notes. Want to remind you guys, though, come over to InThisLeague.com if you guys want to support the boys. You want to let Bogman add more bright colors to his t-shirt collection. There's a bright red today. It's a bright green. It's the Sell the A's shirt. Let's get him maybe a turquoise.
Bear effer.
Shirt. I'd like to see you in a nice pastel purple would be the next one. So if you would like to see that as well, make sure you go to InThisLeague.com. There's other reasons to do it, like ranks and group me rooms, our community live streams, but more particularly, let's get Bogman a pastel purple
fluorescent
t-shirt.
Shirts. I need all of the Easter colors, please. That would be great.
It's right around the corner, right?
It is. Yeah.
It's, you look right, like a Christmas tree. Christmas, you could do New, like, Year's, the lights. No, you could just be like Christmas tree lights. So we need a red one, and we need, I guess there's really not purple on those. Let me ask you something. When is the proper time in your mind to put up Christmas tree lights?
Day
I know you're
going to
say day after Thanksgiving. I know you're going to say that. That's incorrect. You know when the right time is?
Never.
November 1st. It's the day after Halloween. Yeah. Why do all that work to put up lights and stuff for like 20 days? No, you put it up November 1st. So you get 2 months out of it. And then you take it down like January 6th.
It just means you're white.
Maybe
trash.
Not January 6th. Maybe that's January 5th.
All. Just means you're trashy. That's all. It's fine.
Is it trashy to do Christmas lights on November 1st?
I don't really care. I mean,
November
honestly,
3rd, Dia de
I think Mortis, you should be able to do lights on your house whenever you want. Make that. Let's have them all year round. Why are they just for Christmas?
You know what?
For your birthday.
Couldn't agree more. Sure.
Do them for college football. Do them for opening day. Why not do lights for all the important things you like? Let's just add another thing that we need to do. Everybody needs to do lights for everything that they celebrate in their house.
You know,
long weekend, 3-day weekend. Let's get some lights up. Let's waste the whole afternoon doing it.
I think you're onto something. I think maybe the most important thing is it doesn't matter. Do whatever you want. Don't let people tell you. Don't let somebody be like, oh, it's the day.
Don't let society conform you to not putting those lights up on November 1st. That's what we're saying. Also, you know what?
The elites. Leave
them up to Easter.
The elites want you to not have the Christmas lights. The elites of this country, they have been conspiring against people to have lights on their houses because those lights, when they communicate with the extraterrestrials on the other planets, if we have too many lights on here, they're going to know how to find us. What happened? All right, let's talk about some football. Hi, Mick. Welcome to the show. DeAndre Hopkins traded to the Kansas City Chiefs in what I thought was just, I know I've said this a couple places, but it's just so weird because it was the most speculative, like, you know, you just throw crap at the wall. Like, wouldn't it be kind of interesting if this
Madden-y
player went here?
Type of trade. Yeah.
And then it just happened. Like, it just didn't feel like it would happen. I can preemptively tell you, doing the show with Pat and Mick, they both have them this week, like outside the top, like 50, like outside of 50, because no one knows what he could do. Though I did point out, like, look at Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper was involved and scored a touchdown. Moving forward, though, everybody's really torn on what that value is going to end up looking like. It's hard to say it's not a good spot, but it's like, will he be thrust into the Rashee Rice role where he runs 8 yards, cuts inside, and gets thrown 10 targets? Like, what does the role really look like? But I think it's easy to say, like, in theory, he could be a top 20 wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, if he becomes one of Patrick Mahomes' targets, and let's be honest, if Patrick Mahomes gets on it, because he is not having his best season at all. I'll say this, like, I think that the slot role, I don't know, because, 21% of his snaps in his career have been out of the slot. He's more of a perimeter guy. He's also built to be more of a perimeter guy, but it totally depends on how the Chiefs use him. Maybe they see him in this later spot in his career as a slot guy. Maybe that's going to be his new role.
I think he'd be better suited.
I think he would definitely be better for fantasy if he's the slot guy, but let's see what his role is week one. You know, we did have Amari Cooper catch the touchdown, but we also had Davante Adams go 3 for 30. So you just never know which way that's going to go and how many snaps he's going to get week one.
So who'd you rather have rest of season, Amari Cooper or DeAndre Hopkins?
I'd rather have Amari Cooper, and it's not really close.
I think I asked this one. Who would you rather have rest of season, DeAndre Hopkins or Juwan Jennings?
I think
I would rather have Jennings as well.
I think
we
so
know.
Too. How about
we know
one?
What Jennings was without? Okay.
Jalen McMillan or DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay, so that's a good one. I'm going to go with McMillan, I'm going to go with Hopkins because there's like massive dissent internally in the Fantasy Pros content guys of who is going to be the guy. And I think that's the main problem. Like, you have a camp. Erickson is hardcore. I think it's Erickson and Pisapia are like McMillan. Like, this is McMillan time. We've been saying it all the time, McMillan. But then you got Debro and Pat. Debro specifically, heavy Shepherd. Heavy Shepherd is going to play
Sterling
out of the slot.
Shepherd.
But also because one of the things that was looked at was when Godwin was knocked out, McMillan ended up going and playing the outside, and Shepherd was the one that was coming up on the inside for the slot. So there's a kind of a dissent across the board. I think McMillan could pass Hopkins if he does become the number one target guy. I just don't know if he will be the number one target guy.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on, I just feel like Sterling Shepherd, of course, he's going to see increase in, He's going to see an increase in targets and stuff, but I just think McMillan is
the brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Future of this team, and Chris Godwin's not going to be around forever. So might as well start grooming him and putting him in this slot role if that's what Baker Mayfield likes. So that's the way I'd go.
I mean, I agree. I think McMillan is the guy, but I just think
it's
we don't know. It's fair.
I mean, we've seen occasional step ups outside of Rashee Rice. Juju looked good for 2 weeks before he got hurt. Travis Kelce finally had a good week last week, you know, and I ultimately think even with trading for Hopkins, Kelce is the beneficiary of, you know, all of these Rashee Rice targets being dropped. I think eventually that is what we're going to get to.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's not what you did, son, that angers me, son. It's who you did it to.
Who? Nobody?
Nobody.
ITL.
What? It is a very interesting trade, and it could make Hopkins pretty valuable moving forward. We'll see.
Some other big news and notes floating around. Tua is officially back, and Tyreek Hill fired up the troops. Was it a thing? I had to, because me and Erickson have just been like, every week, it's like, hey, it's Tyreek Hill time. It's Devon Achan. Bye, bye, bye. I'm gonna pull this up here because I sent this to Erickson because we're still kind of living in this world. This was Tyreek Hill knowing that Tua is coming back this week.
We're back, baby. Strike up the fucking band. We're back, baby. Start me this week, baby. Let's go.
And he had to curse, of course, make some work be done. But he said, we're back. Strike up the band. Let's go. Tyreek Hill ranking was in like around 7. And I actually think the sneaky one right now might be Jalen Waddle, who's still in the 20s. People are kind of worried about it. But as Tyreek said, strike up the band because Tua is back. Thank God we can get, hopefully, these guys back going again. Where did you end up putting Tyreek and Waddle this week?
Tyreek, I have at 7, and Waddle, I have at 21.
Okay, so you like literally, that's like ECR.
Yeah, and honestly, it was a little bit lower than ECR yesterday because I felt like moving these guys up just a little bit. And then I was like, well, maybe not all of the offensive problems for the Dolphins have been this quarterback spot, but the majority of them are. And, you know, Deepak in his data said that there's not a lot of dip when a quarterback comes back from a concussion. Usually they're pretty spot on. So why would it be any different for the target? So let's go.
Put my hand up on your hip. When I dip, you dip, we dip.
We dip. That's right. Correct.
Put my hand up on your hip. Then I dip, you dip, we dip.
Correct.
And you put yours and I put mine and whatever. Cooper Kupp going to be active for Thursday, really being careful about this. Here's the thing I want to ask real quick on the Cooper Kupp side, because if you're listening Friday, what do you care at this point? Do you think Cooper Kupp gets traded? Because lots of rumors and he is openly being asked and talking about it, which that tends for me to think like, oh, there's like real reality to this.
There's trade a lot of rumors with
next two Tuesdays from now. Two Tuesdays now is the deadline.
There's the Stafford rumors. There is Cooper Kupp rumors. There's, you know, they did trade. Didn't they trade Ernest Jones for Jerome Baker the other day? Like they just flipped linebackers. So, yeah, they're active. So, and do you know who the number one team is betting wise to get Cooper Kupp?
I think it's not the Niners because it's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
The Lions,
it's
right?
The Steelers.
Oh, the Steelers. I've seen everything. I've seen people saying the Niners, that'll never happen. Lions with Stafford. I saw the Steelers one that's out there. I'm surprised the betting favorite is the Steelers.
Yeah, that's crazy to me, too. I just don't. The Steelers would make moves, but I would be surprised to see that one. So I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to do a trade in season, but we just saw a bunch done. There's a bunch of rumors. So I'm going to say, yeah, I do think he's traded.
Kind of seems like it's going to happen, which is, I don't know, it's kind of sad, but if they can really get that second round pick and they've got Puka and
Maybe did you see Puka is probably going to play tonight too, as we're recording this?
Oh, I didn't know. I know he was like, I thought that was more going to be like, yeah, maybe, but no.
I mean, Deepak said he wouldn't suggest him coming back until week 10. And then we heard there's actually a pretty good shot that he's going to play tonight. And then just an hour ago or somewhere around there, I saw that said he's likely to play tonight.
That's crazy. Which
is very, very. So, I mean, they're down. So because Whittington isn't playing, they're down so many wide receivers. They really need him. So maybe they're pushing him. But I would expect him to be severely limited if he does play tonight. Like not like 18 snaps like Cooper or Amari Cooper, excuse me, saw with Buffalo somewhere in that neighborhood.
A really weird one, too, is the Debo situation. Pneumonia. He's out of the hospital. He's got a chance to play. They said he was shooting hoops at the Niners facility. I would say he's not. And getting back to our boy Deepak said that you can kind of play through some of this, but the timetable to get like the fluid out of the lungs can be like a 3 to 5 week or 4 to 6 week process. And it's cool that they're saying he can't. It's the most important game of the season. I know that's like such a trope with football, but it's like the Niners cannot afford to be 3-5 going into the bye, but they're going to do it without Debo. There's no chance because they do have a bye week. So this is an opportunity for them to essentially have 3.5 weeks of rest for Debo in a situation where he was hospitalized for pneumonia. So I do not expect Debo to play this weekend. If he does, I think it's a limited capacity and I think it would be stupid. I think it is going to be a lot of Jennings, assuming he's healthy. I haven't even seen if he's been practicing. He would be a clear number one. And then you're going to have Ricky Pearsall. And more importantly, Jacob Cowing is going to be sneaky with no Debo this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, this is if they're going to have injuries at one position for the Niners, wide receiver is probably a good one because they have incredible depth there. So Pearsall's a great wide receiver. He's a first round pick. Jacob Cowing was super underrated because he's small. Coming out of college, but he's a great route runner.
You saw it like right off the bat. Niners are also tied to stupid wide receiver rumors, which is so ridiculous. Like they paid Ayuk a gajillion dollars. They paid Jennings. They drafted a first round wide receiver. Like I know they lost one. Like, are they really going to go and buy Cortland Sutton? Like that's a rumor that's out there.
At least they don't have a stupid wide receiver getting suspended for PEDs. That's nice.
Very true. But I think this weekend will be really telling if the Niners are going to do that. I think you're going to see Ricky Pearsall put in a good situation, Cowing. And if Debo is out, like I said, Jennings active is top 15 wide receiver in my mind this week. And I think Ricky Pearsall is like a wide receiver 3. And Cowing is a deep league play if you are desperate. All right, let's talk about some of the positional news and notes injuries. Quarterback-wise, Jaden Daniels did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. None of us really expect him to play. I think this is kind of like
they said they're going to try to get him out there tomorrow. So tomorrow is Friday is a big day for Jaden Daniels.
He plays. Deepak didn't think he plays. I would say don't expect that. But the good thing is the pieces around him kind of not affected too much by
Mariota looked good.
Yeah, he looked okay. So
we'll see.
Derek Carr unlikely to play this weekend. Spencer Rattler practiced fully with a hip issue. I saw a report. Is this a dream? Was this one of your dreams that I get incepted? That.
Bringing that up.
Even when Derek Carr comes back, Rattler was going to continue to be the quarterback, or did I dream?
I don't know about that. I think it'd still be Derek Carr, mainly because if Spencer Rattler is the future, you don't.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
On him playing behind this horrid offensive line, let Derek Carr go get hurt. He's getting the money.
Yeah. So speaking of getting hurt, by the way, Andy Dalton's involved in a car crash. Not going to play this weekend. Everybody was okay. Like not only was his wife and kids like a dog.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, me, you made it go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Like, he has the entire... I don't know, what is he doing? Was he trying to leave town? Like, everybody in this car, and luckily everyone's okay. But the word is that they're just going back to Bryce Young, I think, in general, what the team is doing. So it kind of didn't matter from that perspective. So, you know, I don't know. Hold on to your butts with Deontay Johnson and Chuba Hubbard. I don't know what that's going to look like. I think teams
Speaking of trade rumors, I mean, the biggest baby in the world, Deontay Johnson, wants out again. What a shock.
What a shocker.
And he won out, you giant crybaby.
Wouldn't have believed that. I really don't know, because I think defenses are even more aggressive. Like, let Bryce Young try to beat you with his arms. So I think there's going to be a lot more pass rush. I don't know what that means for the run game. This could be a problem. This could be a big problem for the, if we get back to what we saw early on in the year. On the running back side, Jonathan Taylor practiced for the first time since the ankle sprain in week four and could actually play this weekend.
Practice today too. Yeah, I need him bad. Yeah. I need him bad.
We found out that Alvin Kamara has been playing through a broken hand. What?
Just crazy, man. Yeah.
What?
Playing through a broken hand, and it we're like, maybe he doesn't look so good the last couple of weeks. Yeah, dude's got a broken hand and is playing through it. I mean, he has, and Deepak listed this on his, you know, he has the what do you call it? The tweet list of all of the injuries and everything. But Alvin Kamara just has a history of playing through bad injuries.
I like that we found out after he signed like a 2-year extension.
Yeah.
Like that was just this random.
Probably gave it to him because he's being a tough guy. You know?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But Alvin, so I mean, you know, there's something to watch for that, maybe in some of the limitation as far as like them going ballistic with touches. But that was kind of a wild one. Ken Walker still dealing with an illness that he had on Sunday. So maybe that puts question. I mean, he played, so maybe that's just more about like limitation of workload. I would still be comfortable with everything with Walker.
It's just about why he's missing practice, honestly. So I think he's going to be fine and play on Sunday. So
Etienne was limited on Wednesday. Bucky Irving missed practice with a toe injury, and Keaton Mitchell opened up the practice window. Obviously, Bucky and Irving got to pay attention to that. I didn't. Probably more important if Bucky practiced on Tuesday as well as Etienne, because these are notes from yesterday. But Etienne's not a great start. Bucky kind of is. What are you smirking about?
Because you said Bucky and Irving instead of Bucky and Etienne.
Oh, did I? Yeah.
Bucky and Irving. It sounds Bucky like a law. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a law office right there. But yeah, people got it.
On the wide receiver front, DK Metcalf did not practice this week, unlikely to play. So, you know, that's, I think this is a benefit to Tyler Lockett if you're out there. Zay Flowers started the week as a DNP. I know he like got knocked out of the game. Where do we know where that's at currently?
Ankle injury. I think Deepak said lean towards not playing. So we'll see what happens with Zay. I mean, Rashad Bateman had that huge week, so might be a guy to move up on your list a little bit.
Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews was great.
Maybe.
Finally.
But maybe even this week, Jacoby Myers returned to practice. He's involved in a lot of trade rumors. The thing with the 49ers as well. Josh Downs missed practice. Probably purposely. Like, I'm not going to go out there with and Cedric Wilson dealing with a hip issue. And then on the tight end front, George Kittle did not practice on Wednesday, got a foot injury. That one's important because he's the number one tight end if he's active this week. So monitor that. Goddard was unable to practice with a hamstring injury. Will Disley started the week as a DNP. Do you expect Kittle to play?
I do. He played through it last week. I think he'll be okay.
I mean, they can't have all the guys out.
I mean, I do wonder if he's going to be limited if he doesn't practice at all and then plays, or if he just, you know, if it's the veteran rest day on Wednesday. So we'll get more info moving towards game time.
Oh, boy. Crazy stuff. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we got Mick Chiellella on the show to talk about ranks for week 8. It's Bogman, myself, and Mick. Look, I'm actually here, and we will do it right here on In This League right after this.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Joining us for Week 8 Ranks is a guy I've been doing a show with for partial part of the season. One of the three of the rotating chair co-hosts over on the Fantasy Pros Rank Show, which, by the way, is one of the biggest shows that we do on Fantasy Pros. So I'm very happy to host it and very happy to do this show with Mick Chiellella over on Fantrax. Mick, what's up, buddy?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We had a rough go with, for whatever reason, with your last name for me in the first. Am I doing it right
now? I still feel Chiellella? Like it's not right.
No, Chiellella. Yeah, Chiellella. Okay. Maybe I might have Chiellella did a little
I
bit.
I think I
Chiellella.
Just.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think I just assume that Welsh is saying it wrong because we've been friends for a long time.
So
Listen, so, everybody says it wrong. You're doing better than like 90% of the people I deal with. Actually, so.
No, but this is the important thing there, because Boggs, you know, I am the exact same as you. I assume.
Yeah. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey, I'm probably doing it wrong. So when we first did the show, I had it in my brain. It was like, oh, this is Mick, what did I say? Chialella. Or no, Cialella or something like that.
Yeah.
And I had it, and then Mick, you know, corrected me. I asked him, blah, blah, blah. And then we start getting on air, and then, dude, it was like three straight times I screwed it up in the very first show that we did. And it didn't register in my brain. And I am, I'm respective of that, because my real last name is about mine gives people more anxiety than yours. So like, that's why I'm like extra careful of it. But Mick is a great person. Doesn't take any of that stuff too seriously. And a great ranker, by the way. You've done a really great job. Mick, weren't we talking about this? Aren't you top 20 on the Fantasy Pros accuracy so far this year? Top 25?
Yeah, I think I'm in the 20s. I want to say 22nd or something in that range. Yeah. So far, it's been a good season.
Yeah, no big deal. Mick also does baseball and stuff like that. And what are you doing over at Fantrax?
Fantrax, I'm doing baseball and football. So for the football season, I'm doing flex rankings and sneaky starts, and then doing some prop bets as well. So a little bit of everything.
Nice. A little bit of everything. That sounds very familiar. A little bit of everything. I love to see that. All right. So let's talk about some of the big plays here. The week 8 ranks, most likely going to attempt, maybe we can make this like an offshoot version of the rank show we did on Fantasy Pros, to not necessarily talk about all the same players, but there's going to be some crossover. And the fun thing is this can battle you and Bogman a little bit. Over on the quarterbacks, the guys are the guys. We know that. We did do a lot of this discussion, but I want to jump into this. I want to jump into the Caleb Williams thing, because I know we did talk about that. Caleb Williams' rank this week is really high. Mick, you kind of pushed him down a tiny bit. You're not on consensus. Boggs, I think you might have went heavier than consensus. So I think I also brought this up. Mick, can you do a Caleb Williams versus CJ Stroud for me, not to set up the other guy, but CJ Stroud is another one of those guys that I think is kind of all over the board. And Boggs, you have Stroud at 7 and Caleb at 6. Mick, you have Caleb at 10 and Stroud at 15. So let's start a Caleb versus Stroud for this week. And Mick, we'll start with you.
I do like Caleb more than Stroud this week, but I am lower than both on consensus. I think my issue with Caleb is the matchup with Washington is not as good as it has been from a season-long perspective in recent weeks. Washington's allowing the third fewest fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks over the last 4 weeks. Their defense is starting to gel a little bit. Caleb's been great the last couple of games. I think he was QB6 against Carolina and QB1 against Jacksonville. But again, this is a little bit of a tougher matchup than it may appear if you look at the season-long stats. And with Jaden Daniels probably out this week, there's going to be less of an opportunity for, like, you know, the kind of shootout, you know, OK Corral kind of situation. So I think Caleb's fine this week. I just think he's, you know, more of a low end QB1. And as far as Stroud goes, you know, I think that he will be fine. Again, if you want to start him, I'm not going to push back too hard against it. But he's only had like one top 12 start in the last 5 weeks. And the matchup with Indianapolis is somewhat neutral. I think this is going to be more of a Joe Mixon game. Joe Mixon ran for over 150 yards the first time these two teams met. So again, I think Stroud will be okay. I just don't think he's going to be in that, you know, upper tier this week.
Boggs, throws back to you. You are high on both of them. You're high on Caleb. You're high on Stroud. And the matchup is probably what screams to both of these players. But obviously Stroud in the comparison has been the guy that has struggled.
Yeah, I mean, Stroud, I wanted to lower a little bit this week for sure, but the matchup is too good against Indy, division game. He has spoken on wanting to get Tank Dell more involved as well. So I just think we're going to see one of the better games from CJ Stroud this season this week, because he hasn't been good and he knows it. So I think we're going to see a bow up from him. In the case of Caleb Williams, it's everything seemed to click against Jacksonville, right? Everything was looking good, and they had the bye, and they're playing a relatively weak defense in Washington. I know, Mick, you said it's bad or it's been better recently, but they have played Carolina and Cleveland in two of those 3 weeks, and they gave up 300 yards to Lamar Jackson passing. So I just still don't really believe in this Washington defense. I think everything was starting to click from Caleb, and I think we're going to start to see some upside. And with Jaden Daniels missing some weeks, if we see Caleb Williams throw a couple haymakers here, this rookie of the year debate could get seemingly interesting moving forward. So I really like this matchup for Caleb.
I think there's a lot of like intertwining interesting plays. Patrick Mahomes is starting to float outside of like the top 12. People are kind of losing interest. He's like sandwiched between the Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnolds of the world and stuff like that. But again, I'm not really sure there's a ton of conversation unless you want to start streaming. Or let me do one quick thing on Mahomes. Mick, do you believe that Mahomes is now properly in a quarterback streaming state where if, you know, you do have the Darnold out there, you put Darnold out. And I know this is like how I'm saying that's kind of weird because someone's like, well, you're the idiot if like Darnold is ranked higher. But there is an element where people are like, it doesn't matter what he's ranked. I'm playing him every single week. But do you think he has entered the phase of he does not get the credit to be a no-brainer starter every week? And he is legitimately in the Darnold, Goff, whoever the hell, Brock Purdy, whoever the hell you want to put out there type of streaming spot?
I think he is. And it's funny because before the season, you know, I thought there was a kind of a clear cut tier one with four quarterbacks. I thought it was, you know, Jackson, Allen, Hurts, and Mahomes, but there's no way you can justify Mahomes being in that tier anymore. I just think the, you know, the Chiefs offense is just not as explosive as it has been in the past. And yeah, I think Mahomes is in that range where he's probably going to be in that 10 to 15 streaming category most weeks.
Well, remember that death match where I took Lamar. I took Mahomes first, and yeah. Lamar fell to me in the second round in Superflex, right? I started Sam Darnold over Pat Mahomes last week, and I'm doing it again this week, right? And he just has not looked right yet. They're winning, and people have said it, they're kind of winning despite him. He's still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm not, you know, knocking him, but statistics-wise, he's not good for fantasy right now. So they're undefeated, so great, but it's not working for us for fantasy.
If we were doing the show with Pat, I would definitely do a Bo Nix question here. But to go and listen to the Fantasy Pro Show if you want to hear why Bo Nix is a QB1 this week, yeah, which
by
I can't
the way,
even fathom.
You and Joe both laughed in my face in the show on Monday still, about wanting to move Bo Nix up.
I will still laugh at Bo.
They're playing Nix? Carolina. Carolina has nothing. And now they have Bryce Young starting. They're going to possess the ball for like 8 minutes of this game. It's going to be all Bo Nix in the Broncos offense. It's going to be crazy.
I mean, it's going to be the worst game that has been televised in football
history.
I'm
not saying it's going to be a good game. I'm not going to say that at all. It's going to be a terrible game because it's Denver versus Carolina. But for fantasy, I'd probably rather have Bo Nix than a lot of other guys.
It is wild.
I'm at 15. I don't have him as QB1.
One thing long-term to think about is we are in a state of, what was this, week eight. We're in a state at the quarterback position where legitimately people will sit Patrick Mahomes for Bo Nix. The quarterback position when drafting it, there's a lot of the late round quarterback idea, but mostly it's like, hey, if you're going to get one of the top four or five guys, pay, you know, maybe the little bit lower cost. I think that's the degradation of the quarterback position, like tight end. They're going, and we all focus on how bad tight end has become and quarterback's not much different. Like Lamar Jackson obviously has worked out, but you see Jaden Daniels jumping up. Josh Allen has kind of underperformed. And the amount of guys that were undrafted that have jumped in to the top 12 of quarterback is crazy. Caleb is in there. We've seen Baker Mayfield in there. Sam Darnold legitimately has that locked down. I don't know.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I think prioritizing the elite of the tight end and quarterback position is kind of laughable at this point because we are having, you know, these turnovers and Bo Nix starting over Patrick Mahomes. It's not supposed to work like that. The only other quarterback I think I want to hit in the streaming world is Tua. Tua is active. Tua does not have the love in early ECR ranks. Maybe that's going to change a little bit more. He is, it looks like 16 currently. You guys, Boggs, you've got him at 17 and you're down at 21, Mick. So Mick, let's start with
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
In this league.
Yeah, I remember that.
Why no love for Tua on the return when, you know, Tyreek Hill is saying fire it back up, the band's back together, they got the healthy running backs, they got the two wide receivers, Jonnu's played well. I mean, all these pieces. Now, the offense hasn't looked great, but now you got Tua back in there. What makes Tua not even a top 15 quarterback? What makes Bo Nix starting over Tua not even a question?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say it wouldn't be a question because I think I will be bumping up to it in the next couple of days. But I mean, listen, Nix has been semi-legit. I mean, he has 25 rushing yards in 5 of 7 games, which helps. And again, as Bob mentioned, the matchup with Carolina is about as good as it gets. As far as Tua goes, his matchup's not bad either. I mean, Arizona's 29th, I believe, in DVOA against the pass. So I guess as long as there are no limitations, I'm fine with bumping Tua up into that sort of, 15 to 18 range where he's, the ECR has him at. I don't know if I want to be forced to start him this week, so to speak. But I think if, he was your QB1 going into the season, I don't mind starting him in certain situations.
Bugs, what's your reservation with Tua for this week?
It's not even really a reservation. It's just I think I move Bo Nix ahead of him, honestly. But I do question whether all of the issues in Miami are just the quarterback because the O-line hasn't been good either. But it's pretty obvious that most of it is the quarterback. So I think I'm okay rolling him, especially against Arizona, as Mick said.
All right, let's go over to running backs here. You get the big running back core, all the names that we know. Let's start with this first standout, though. And Boggs, you've got a name in the top 12. And when I say all the names that you know, like RB1s, there's not maybe a bunch of a big question as far as like starters and would you sit guys and whatnot. We have a back that, Mick, you've got in the mid RB2 range that, Boggs, you have inside the top 12. And that back is Kareem Hunt. So, Boggs, let's start with you. Obviously, the volume has been
That's
there.
It.
There is a good matchup. So top 10 for Kareem Hunt this week.
That's all of it, man. It's not because I think Kareem Hunt is a good back. 32 teams had 2 weeks to pick him up and nobody did. So I don't think he's a good back. This is a war of attrition. And right now he's getting more carries than anybody else. So I expect that to continue. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins comes in and gets 10 targets in week 1. You know what I mean? That they're still kind of working around these injuries that they've had in the wide receiver core. So for me, I just think it's going to be Kareem Hunt getting the ball a lot late when the Chiefs are sitting on a lead. Now the Raiders have given them problems, but they know that too. They're coming into this game pretty pissed off. So I think that Kareem Hunt just continues to get 20 plus carries.
Mick, what do you think about Kareem Hunt being a top 10 back this week? Bogman's got Hunt above Kyren Williams and Devon Achane. What say you?
I can't put him ahead of Kyren. I currently don't have him ahead of Achane either, but I think that's a little more justifiable. I think with Kyren, obviously the matchup's not great tonight against the Vikings, but I just think, you want to talk about volume. I think Kyren has 21 touches in like 5 of his 6 games. So I think that's pretty bankable. But yeah, I mean, other than that, Hunt is getting as much as volume as anybody. So it's hard to argue too much against him. I do prefer Achane against the Cardinals. But, I don't think it's crazy to rank Hunt over Achane this week.
Another running back I want to ask you guys about is James Cook. I feel like I'm moving away from James Cook a little bit. We're seeing Ray Davis slowly start to kind of tick around as far as value goes. And you guys, I guess I'd have to be looking at the consensus. I feel like you guys are both lower than consensus. I believe Boggs, you have him at 17 and Mick, you have him at 18. It looks like he's about 18 right now. Mick, what's your take on James Cook right now and being potentially still the bell cow of Buffalo?
Well, yeah, it's hard to say that he's going to be the bell cow given how Ray Davis has performed the last couple of weeks. And obviously they just brought in Amari Cooper. So maybe they transition a little bit more, you know, towards the passing game, which would be nice for those with Josh Allen. You know, maybe wishful thinking on my part because I have Cook in a ton of leagues, but I still think he is more of the guy than Davis is. But I do think there is, you know, a little bit of pushback as far as the workload goes. So yeah, it's kind of that in that uncomfortable range where, you know, he's my RB2 pretty much everywhere. So I'm probably going to start him over, you know, some other options in that range. But yeah, it's not as, you know, set it and forget it as it looked like it was 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Boggs, you've got DeAndre Swift ahead of him, as do you, Mick. Do you think there's a tier difference, maybe specifically this week and then long-term of Swift versus Cook? Or do you think long-term, same tier this week, maybe a tier difference?
I'd see that's better because I do think that really what we're seeing from James Cook over the last couple of weeks, outside of Ray Davis looking excellent, I'm not going to take anything away from him. I, you know, said in the beginning of the season, I think he's probably just as good a running back as James Cook, if not better. But this is the toe injury mainly for James Cook and his usage, right? He's still getting the whole year. He hasn't really had a good snap percentage. 61% week one is his highest snap percentage, 47, 50, 56, 59, 53 after missing a week. So he's still going to be in that 66 to 55% range, but they like to give him the ball a lot. And it doesn't really matter if they're passing or running a lot because he's still their guy. So I'm still pretty high on James Cook, but the toe injury, not a good matchup. I don't love him for this week.
Do you guys, are you guys locked in that the ranking of Jonathan Taylor right now is if he's active, but you think he's going to maybe be a little bit limited, or is this like a hesitation type of ranking? Because Mick, I feel like you've got him low at 19 and Boggs, you have him outside of RB1. So like if he is active for the game, is he's not an RB1 to you, Mick?
He probably will be a high end RB2. I'll probably move him closer to 15. I currently have him at 19, I believe. But the matchup is not good against the Texans. So, you know, given the injury, you know, I don't think he's going to walk into 25 touches. I think it might be a little bit more of a split between he and Sermon and Goodson and whoever else they have over there. So I think, you know, he'll be kind of eased in, you know, which we saw, like, you know, Cook got most of the carries, but not all last week. And, you know, some other running backs coming off of injury. So I think Taylor will be in that, you know, 15 touch range, which
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Puts him in like the, you know, high RB2 category for me.
So I'm going to say this knowing the answer, but sometimes I find it valuable to like say these out loud because we think about it. You can only start two running backs. You have Devon Achane, Kareem Hunt, and Jonathan Taylor. You're sitting Jonathan Taylor based on your ranks. Are you doing that?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Yes. I think I would. Yeah.
I am. Yeah.
You're going to do that too, Boggs.
Yeah. And it's more about, you know, him coming back, as Mick said, he's not going to get the full assortment of touches. It's a bad matchup against Houston as well. And even, you know, Deepak shows guys coming off this high ankle that haven't played in 3 weeks usually experience around a 15 to 20% dip. So I think we're going to see the dip in touches, which means less production. Do you want to use guys that are banged up around the goal line as well? Like, these are all questions. We don't have questions about Hunt or Achane. They're going. So that's my thought process there.
a player that I've really been involved in is just as far as like ups and downs and being in on it in some of the buy sell trade videos on Fantasy Pros was Tank Bigsby, and Tank looked phenomenal. But we know that ETN is looming out there, and Tank is kind of leading the pack for a lot of people in the sell range. Boggs, you don't have him as an RB2 this week. Mick does. We know ETN's a little bit questionable, and like if ETN is inactive, I think everyone's going to move him up. But give me your take on Tank Bigsby Boggs this week if ETN is active. Is that what's a representation of that rank of 27 at RB?
No, this is because they're going to get demolished by the Packers. And we saw exactly what happened when the Jags got demolished in England, right? It's Dearness Johnson. It's when they're passing the ball to try to play catch up, Tank Bigsby is not on the field. I think, especially with a terrible secondary and a good pass rush like that against them, the Jags just do not match up worse with many teams than the Packers in the NFL. So I think they're going to get the break speed off of them. And I think we're going to see a lot of Dearness Johnson, regardless of ETN is back. So that's why I have Tank as an RB3 instead of an RB2 this week.
Mick, I think we talked about it on the pro show. We talked about Tank, and like it's pretty well known. Tank does not play third downs. Like that's why Dearness was out there. Your rank inside the RB2 range, is this assuming ETN's not going to play, or is this even with an ETN active?
For me, it's assuming ETN is not going to play. If ETN does play, then I kind of want no part of this backfield because, as Bogman said, there could be three guys getting the work with Dearness Johnson getting the workload in the passing game. So, yeah, if ETN is active, I'm probably not starting any Jaguars running back this week.
The Tampa Bay situation is pretty interesting, and I just noticed you guys are flipped on this. We've got Boggs, Rashad White at 24, so that's an RB2. Bucky Irving down here at 33. This is coming off of the big Rashad White week, but it's a little bit inverse for Mick, where Mick, Rashad White is 30 for you, and Bucky is 27. So, Mick, let's start with you. Bucky over Rashad White. It's a version of a three-headed monster. Like, Sean Tucker gets a little bit of that. What has you still with Bucky over Rashad White?
I think Bucky has just been the better back in the running game. You know, we talked about it in the other podcast that White could get a bump going forward with Tampa Bay losing Godwin and Mike Evans. You know, White's been a pretty good receiver the last couple of years, but I think when they're going to run the ball, it's going to be a lot more Bucky. He's been a much better running back than Rashad White. I believe he's averaging, 5.3 yards per carry or so to White's 3.7. So yeah, I think when Tampa Bay runs the ball, it's going to be with Irving. I don't mind White in that sort of flex spot, especially in like, half PPR or PPR, but Bucky's definitely the running back that I prefer.
Boggs, I'm pretty anti Rashad White. I signaled him as kind of the trade, but at the end of the day though, the argument of they're going to need him more than ever without all their pass catchers, that holds weight. So is that what's kind of pushing him up as an RB2? Because I think Rashad White has been sitting on a lot of benches for quite a few weeks because no one can start him. You're firing
reasonably
24. You're firing him up.
Yeah. Well, he looked great last week when those guys went down. I mean, before obviously Godwin went down, but with Mike Evans out for the majority of the game, they threw the ball a lot to Rashad White. He also played more snaps. They're playing against Atlanta. It was not a good defense, and Bucky is banged up right now. So all of that points towards Rashad getting more touches in this game than he has had probably in many others this season. So I think that he's going to have a nice week this week. That's why I had to put him as an RB2.
All right, let's do some battles here. And I'm going to give you two names. You tell me what start, who is going to start. And I might pick one name and put multiple guys against it, like Nick Chubb. So let's play the Nick Chubb game. And Mick, we'll let you kick it off. Nick Chubb or Rico Dowdle this week? Who are we starting?
I currently have Dowdle one spot ahead of Chubb. So I guess technically I'm going with Dowdle. I don't feel great about it necessarily against the 49ers, but yeah, I'm going to go with Dowdle there.
So you will. Okay. I mean, cause like that's part of the game sometimes is you see your own rank and you go, oh crap. Like if Chubb, right. you are going Dowdle over Chubb. Okay. You can change it if you want Boggs, Dowdle or Chubb.
I'm going Dowdle. It's not.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.